Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Epke. If you've been following my show, you know I feature a wide variety of amazing adventures, ranging from tornado tours in the western United States to gorilla tracking in East Africa. I love talking about all these extraordinary adventures, but I'm really excited about today's show. And I'm thrilled to introduce today's guest, Doug Grimes, who's the founder and president of MiraCorps. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So the reason I'm so excited is that we're going to talk about a space vacation. So is this an Uber adventure? Is this the pinnacle of travel or what? Because this is something most folks will never experience because so few companies are able to offer such an incredible experience. But MiraCorps is not your average travel company. They are one of the best adventure travel companies in the world, and not just because of where they go and what they offer, such as exploring the Ukraine, touring North Korea, and Trans-Siberian Railway Adventure, but because of their level of service and knowledge of their destinations. So I want to ask you, Doug, I know you've won all kinds of awards here, but how many times have you actually won the prestigious Tours of a Lifetime award?
Prestigious Tours of a Lifetime. Well, actually, I don't know that answer that question. We did get just this last year the Magellan Award for our catalog, which we produce every year, which we have like 42 different programs we offer. And that's not the first time we've won that award. Actually, we've won it several times. This trip that we're talking about is one that is kind of dear to my heart because it's something that I developed myself, and it took me 2 or 3 years to actually make the right contacts and everything to be able to do this trip inside the Russian space program.
Okay, well, I'm just going to let you know, because I know you've won 4 prestigious Tours of a Lifetime awards. And he's won a lot of other awards, and I just wanted people to know that because I want them to know that they're in good hands with MiraCorps. And so let's just jump right on in and talk about the space program, or what I like to call space vacation. Okay, I know it's a 9-day itinerary that starts in Moscow. So tell us what participants can expect once they land. Walk us through the first couple of days in Moscow.
Okay. Well, the trip starts in Moscow, Russia, and we do kind of give an introduction to people when they first arrive. We usually take a little walking tour to Red Square at night because that's a great way to kind of start your trip in Russia. And then the next day, we go out to Star City. Star City is a secret cosmonaut training center that was... most people who even lived in the area didn't know where it was. It's located about an hour outside of Moscow. And in this whole territory is a giant campus with all the training facilities that the cosmonauts train on, and actually now astronauts and international astronauts from around the world before they go up in the Soyuz to go to the International Space Station. So they have a giant centrifuge there. They have a big hydro lab, which is an underwater neutral buoyancy lab, so they can test, you know, like for doing spacewalks. They have everything. They have like a special facility for simulating zero gravity. They have giant... they have the full-size mock-ups of the International Space Station and actually the old Mir space station. So they do trainings in there, all the full-size pieces. And so we spend the whole day touring that facility, going through all the different buildings and seeing the different facilities. And actually, you know, almost every time I've been there, too, we would run into some people who are actually in training. We usually do a meeting with one of the former cosmonauts and do kind of a Q&A with them. And so that's fun. Yeah.
So tell me this, that you get a chance to do, people can on this tour can do cosmonaut training, is that right? optional?
Right, right. We okay. offer that as an optional thing. So we have one extra day in Moscow where people can sign up for training things themselves. So some of those are, like I mentioned, zero-gravity flight, which I have done a couple times. It's a giant Aleutian airplane that goes up, flies up to 30,000 feet, and then it does these what they call parabolic curves. And at the top of that curve, there's a 35 seconds of zero gravity. And they do like 10 of those or 12 of them. And it's amazing. You're basically floating freely around the inside of this giant plane with cosmonaut trainers. And, you know, some people do call it the vomit comet, but
we haven't had any trouble.
Some people can get sick on that. You have to be, you know, careful about that. But it's an amazing experience, and
I
highly recommend it.
Yeah, there's a great picture I've seen of you doing a zero-G flight, and you have the biggest, goofiest grin on your face. So, I mean, I'm just guessing this just has to be an indescribably incredible experience, as long as you don't get sick, right?
Yep.
Okay,
that's true.
So whether you attend this cosmonaut training or not, everyone's getting this full tour of the is it Cosmodrome?
It's called Star City. Okay. Yeah, Star in Moscow, outside of Moscow. So that's where Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space who, you know, was in 1961 in April. That's where he trained, and they still have, you know, the same campus, and actually one of his relatives even lives there. So there's a lot of traditions and stuff. So
this used to
we
be
spend
a top
that whole
secret
day
area,
there.
Right?
What's that?
This used to be top secret.
Yeah, so we have to have special permission. You know, we have to go
now,
through the
gate. Do you have military
gate.
Accompanying you or just a guide?
No, we have a guide that is from the, you know, Star City, and we get permission to come in, and we go through the big gate, and you know they have security and everything. So
and you can take pictures. They'll let you.
Yep. Once we've got permission for our clients, they can take pictures of everything. So you know, it's great for photographers and kind of getting up and close personal to a lot of these facilities and stuff that you know would be tough to do anywhere else in the world.
Because this is all self-contained, so there would be everything there from food storage, right, to
Yep. They have we get to see the space food that they use, and we get a little demonstration about the space toilet and everything. So it's all there.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so let's move on to the big event here. I think it's around day 7, you actually get to see a manned space launch.
That's right.
And what's it called?
We fly from Moscow down to the middle of the Kazakh desert to the town of Baikonur. Baikonur is in a leased territory that Russia is leasing from Kazakhstan now, which is kind of the Cape Canaveral of Russia. It's where all the launch facilities are. So that's where the original Gagarin rocket launched from. That's where their version of the shuttle, which was called the Buran, they launched there, and everything else, all the Proton launches and everything. So it's a big facility. We get special permission to go in there. We stay in a hotel that is right in town, but it's very close to the Cosmonaut Hotel, which is where the cosmonauts stay and do their training and stuff before they do their launches. And so there's a lot of traditions leading up to the launch, and we basically get to participate in all those kind of traditional things before the launch itself. So the first one is at early morning, at dawn, the rocket, the Soyuz, comes out of the assembly hangar where they have assembled it lying down on a train car. So it's coming out, and you're literally like 10 feet from it. And we follow the Soyuz rocket along the railway tracks all the way to the launch pad. And so that's a really kind of neat event. There's press people. There's kind of dignitaries. There's you know, former cosmonauts and
this isn't
from...
open to the public. This is just invited.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a special permission, and
okay.
And so then once we get to the launch pad itself, they have a whole raising of the rocket ceremony. So you're there for that. So the rocket comes in laying down, and then it's basically raised up on this big crane, you know, and put upright into the launch pad. And
is
so that's
music?
Also kind of a press event.
No,
like there's
no
music
dance
for that.
Or something? I mean.
no, but it's a lot of fun to be there and, you know, rub shoulders with, you know, some of the military people and things like that. And families of the cosmonauts and astronauts going up. So the last time I was there was only actually 3 weeks ago, and there was the first Norwegian astronaut ever, and his family was there, his wife and his mom and his brother, and you know, there was an entourage from the European Space Agency and stuff, and so that was pretty neat.
And you got a female cosmonaut now, right?
Oh yeah, yep. There have been quite a few females. Actually, the very first woman in space was a Russian. Was a Tereshkova, and she's still alive. I've met her once, actually.
Wow.
She's amazing. She's actually, I think, on tour in England right now because there's a exhibit at the BBC Museum with her original capsule that she went up in. And a bunch of space paraphernalia and things like that. So,
okay, well, I just want to make sure to mention to everybody that if they're interested, there is a short video clip. I guess it was last year's launch on your website. And I'm going to give everybody that website by the end of the show, so make sure you have a pen ready. But there is a little clip of that. But it doesn't do justice, I'm sure, to what it's like to be standing right there when it's shooting off into space, right? I mean...
Yeah. So... So we do all these things leading up to the launch, and there's a press conference, which we get to go to. There's a what they call suit doning, which is if you see some pictures of up close of the guys in their suits that they're wearing, those are from the suit doning ready-to-go report. So they officially come out of the building, and they signal that they're ready to go, and the officials kind of give them their, okay, we're ready to go to the rocket, and then they get in the bus and take off to the Soyuz, and then we go to view our viewing place, which if people have seen launches from the United States, the shuttle, it's usually about a 5 mile distance, and in Russia we get to be close to about 2 miles, so it's close enough that you can feel it.
Wow.
And so
the heat, you're saying, coming off of the
well, it's a very kind of eerie, crackly sound, something that's very hard to describe, and you can feel that vibration in your body, you know, at 2 miles, and it's really a moving experience. I mean, I've seen it 5 times already, and I still, everyone is different, you know, and I really highly recommend it. It's an awesome experience. And I've met some interesting people, too.
Is it deafening when it takes off? Like, you can't hear somebody speaking, or is it not like that?
No, you can't hear anybody speaking. It's very loud.
It is deafening,
Yeah.
Okay, well, forgive my ignorance, but what is it that the cosmonauts do once they're at the International Space Station? What is it they're doing?
Well, so there's a what they call crew rotations going on now. So there's... Usually we have an American crew up there, and we have a Russian crew, and there's some international participants as well. And they're basically up there living, doing experiments, keeping the station together, making repairs and all that kind of stuff. And they usually go up for 6 months. So on this launch that I just came back from, actually only... Two of the people that went up in the launch came back only after being up there for 10 or 12 days. So it was a short visit. One was the Norwegian fella, and the other one was a Kazakh. There was a Kazakh cosmonaut who took the place of Sarah Brightman. If some of you have followed this, that she had paid to go up and was going through the training and everything. She's a famous British singer, and for some reason had to pull out maybe a couple months before, and they put in her place a Kazakh fella. And so it's the first Kazakh astronaut since the independence of Kazakhstan. So during Soviet times, there was a few others. But so that was a big deal, too. There was a lot of dignitaries there and stuff. And actually, when the landing came back down and the Kazakh landed, they had a big press conference with the president of Kazakhstan. So
now, how long does it take them
cool.
to get there, from the launch to get to the station? What's the time range?
Well, the typical connecting time from launch until they connect to the International Space Station is about 48 hours, so it's about 2 days. Recently, they've changed that, and they can actually do what they call a short connection, and they can do it in like 6 or 7 hours. But this last one was back to the regular schedule, which was 2 days. So they're basically, you know, circling the Earth, you know, catching up to the right timing so that then they can dock with the station. And once they dock, and we've actually been able to see some of the dockings as well, and we try to include that in the program. It's not always possible because of the timing, but
if it is possible, we
also get to see that. So you get to see them, you kind of how they're getting ready, you get to see the launch itself, and then we can, if you can actually see the docking where they open the dock and float into the International Space Station, it's pretty cool.
As if all this isn't enough, I want to mention a couple of cool things I saw on your itinerary. I know, because I didn't realize that there was a space exploration museum in Moscow, and this is kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's a fantastic museum, and we include that. And in there they have capsules and the history of all the Russian space program, which is pretty rich, you know, besides having the very first satellite, artificial satellite that was launched, which basically launched the space race. They had the first man in space, Gagarin. They had the first woman in space. They had the first spacewalk. We can say we had the first and only people on the moon, and of course that is obviously a big deal, but they're very proud of their space program and all the accomplishments they had, and there's a fantastic museum right in Moscow, and they keep adding stuff to it too, so every time I've been there there's some new exhibit, and it's definitely worthwhile. I highly recommend it.
Can you climb into like one of the old launch rockets or something? Is there anything like that you can actually kind of see what it was like to be a?
Yeah, they do have some of the actual Soyuz capsules there, and you can go and try to sit in it. It's very small and very tight, and your knees are kind of pushed up to your chest. And if you can imagine, that's how the position they're in, you know, waiting for the launches and for many hours after the launch. It's pretty tight quarters, and there's three people in that thing. I mean,
oh my gosh. I'm getting claustrophobic just hearing you talk about it, Doug. Well, tell me here, I know that there's also a Cold War bunker that's in Moscow that you all go visit. Is it used for anything else these days, or is it just a tourist attraction, or...?
Now it's just a tourist attraction. It was built during the Cold War days, and it was built by the same people who built the Moscow underground metro system. So it kind of looks a little bit like a metro tunnel, but it's closed off, you know. We go way down, I think it's, I want to say, 26 stories or something like that. It's really deep in the ground, and we get to see the bunker, and they have a small museum in there too, where they have some of the artifacts of, like, this is where the command center was when, if there was going to be an all-out nuclear war, that's where the Soviets were going to be pushing the button, you know, And it's pretty creepy, but at the same time, it's very interesting and it's educational. And now they use it to show people and kind of, we usually show a small film down there and about the Cold War. And sometimes we even do events down there. We can do like a dinner or something.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
I
can't believe how many highlights are in this trip. I mean, this is really a once-in-a-lifetime adventure. And even if you don't do the cosmonaut training school, this is just an incredible. By the way, how many people don't do the cosmonaut training? Do you have many people that go?
I mean, it depends on the trip. I mean, one trip we had more than half of the people doing them, and other trips we've only had maybe one or two people, you know, doing some cosmonaut training. So it just depends on the person. They're not cheap, you know, to do, but they are obviously once in a lifetime kind of thing. So, you know, I would recommend the zero gravity
bucket
flight.
Bucket list trips are seldom cheap. You know, that's the problem. That's why they're bucket list things. So let's talk about it here. What do you know the dates and the cost yet for 2016? Because I know you and I were talking before the show that there's only 16 people allowed. So the sooner people can sign up, obviously, the better.
Right.
Are they able to do that yet or what?
Yeah. The dates are August 27th through September 4th. And that is timed with the Soyuz launch, which is... looking at the wrong document. Apologies. I think it's September 1st is the launch date. So it's right around there. We do actually put in our document to please be flexible because the launch dates can get moved sometimes, and if they do, they we like to move the trip a little bit. So actually,
things are out of your hands, so you have to be flexible. Yeah. Okay. And what's
September 30th? September 30th is the launch. So our trip dates are September 24th through October 2nd.
Okay. Wait. September 24th through October 2nd.
October 2nd. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for 2016. Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, I was looking at.
I'm making note of this
15.
Myself so that we can put that on the website. Okay.
Yeah.
And the launch date's when? The 30th? Is that what you said?
Is September 30th is the date of the launch of the Soyuz. It's scheduled right now, so it may change a little bit. And if it does, once it is adjusted, we notify everybody. You know.
And they and the way this is timed, they could probably see the docking as well. Before they come home.
At the end of the trip. Yeah.
If
they go with the short docking schedule, then we would see the docking actually in Baikonur itself and then fly back to Moscow after that. So that's typically what we do,
All right, so what's the cost for this? Do I need to do a drum roll? What should we do here?
it's $14,495 per person. And that includes all the internal flights, special flights from Moscow to Baikonur and back, and everything else, you know. That's
you know what, though, that sounds, when people first hear it, that sounds kind of like, you know, you can hear a pin drop when people first hear that, I'm sure. But I just had a friend that got back from South Africa that paid $15,000 just to go to South Africa for 2 weeks. So, yeah, it's really not out of line. I mean,
this is not
highly specialized trip and all, and it's pretty credible. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so if people are interested here, I want to make sure we get this in because we're almost out of time. So is there anything else you want to add before we close the show and I give the contact information and all? Is there anything I haven't covered or something else you'd like to mention about?
Well, I'd just like to mention that some people ask about our name. It says MIR or Mir. Mir actually means peace and world in Russian. And, you know, we are going to be 30 years old next year, our 30-year anniversary. I started the company when it was the Soviet Union. We were doing citizen exchanges between the U.S. and USSR. So So I think that's something that's good for people to know. We have a very good website. There's a lot of blog posts and stuff on there, too, that you can read about some of our different trips. And
now, are you going to be offering us some anniversary specials for next year now? Can we expect some discounted pricing?
We do. We are planning to run some specials for 16 because of our 30th anniversary, and we have a few new trips coming out. So we're excited about that, and our catalog is at the printers right now, so it's going to be being mailed, you know, in a couple weeks. So.
Okay, all right. So for more about this itinerary or any of the other great trips offered by MiraCorps, you need to visit www.miracorps.com, which is MIRCORP, MiraCorps.com, and you'll also find a link to their site. And information about this particular trip and all on TerranceTalksTravel.com, which is TerranceTalksTravel, TerranceTalksTravel.com. You'll also find hundreds of free travel reports, and you can sign up for my weekly newsletter so you don't miss any episodes of this show or my trip pick of the week or my Terrence Talks Travel blog. But the show is also available on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes if you prefer to catch it on the go. So I just want to take this time now before we close to thank Doug for sharing this special trip with us and for being such a great guest.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it was nice.
Come back and talk about some of your other
I would love to do that. Yeah, yeah. Some of our other destinations like Uzbekistan or Georgia where the food is awesome. And,
we were talking about that's one of your favorite places. So, yeah,
well,
we've run out of time, but we're going to have to talk about this in another episode. So I hope that's all for this show, but I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. So stay tuned.